Hello and welcome to episode 31 of Crippled System. My name is Andy, and I play Trollbloods?
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You're painting Trollbloods. Right now you play nothing?
I want to play Trollbloods. I really do.
Well, I'm finished painting them.
No. It's so long.
And I'm Brian. I play the Cricks and the Scorn.
And I'm Nathan, and I technically play Minions.
I'm Katie. I play Circle.
I'm Jeremy, and I play Retan Legion.
Pew, pew! That was a fairly clean intro for us.
It was.
Exciting. It was
pretty clean.
That was terrifying.
Brian, you had a story. Story us.
So we're going right to my story.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be really good, and I wanted to hear it all
day. Well, I've hyped up too much.
I like every time Jeremy talks. Well, I hate when Jeremy talks, but the amusing thing when Jeremy's talking right now is that the spikes go insane on that computer right
they
now.
They do. I feel like Andy can fix that, though.
You're also filleting the microphone.
I have an unpowered mic. I have to.
Okay. No, you don't.
If I'm back here, you can barely hear me.
Yeah, because that's how normal microphones work.
So
you have a powered microphone. I am the only one without a powered microphone.
I used to be the unpowered mic.
That's when we had six people here on a regular basis.
There's only five.
Stop filleting the microphone.
So confusing.
Colored cables means power. Have you not noticed that yet? The unpowered
really
ones have the black cable.
Yeah.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
So Brian's story.
My story. I went to Iowa for the Friday-Saturday. I haven't stayed a longer day because of what happened to me. I was hanging out with John for a little while. And Friday night, I was out with those guys. We were playing some board games. And I go to bed normally 10-ish because I'm old and I like to sleep. But we're out to like, and I knew this would happen because I've been drinking a lot of caffeine. But I was up to like 2 o'clock playing board games and whatnot. Almost 2. And everyone finally leaves, and John's letting me sleep. Basically, one of his sons had a sleepover, so there was a bunch of friends, and they were all just crashed in the living room. And whenever people guests come over, they always get his oldest son, his son's room. So it's a fun, it's a big enough bed. So I'm in there, I'm sleeping, I go to bed. Like I said, at 1:32, and I suddenly wake up, and it's super dark. I don't know what time it is, or it's just kind of getting light outside. But the first thing I hear is a sound of children whispering all around me. And unfortunately, I have seen too many horror movies. My first thought is Children of the Corn is occurring now. And I hear, and it's coming from all around me. And then I hear, if he wakes up, just shh. And I don't hear the word they say after if he wakes up. So now I open my eyes. I can't see anything. I haven't really moved. And I'm also concerned because I have a habit of texting John before every major convention at 5 in the morning to say good luck. Because I know he goes to bed at 4 in the morning. And with his phone, it's a work phone, so he has to check his texts.
Right.
So I'm wondering, has John orchestrated some sort of event to like have all the children attack me with buckets of water or things or who knows what's about to happen to me? So I'm laying there paralyzed with fear, not knowing if the kids have caused a coup, if John's about to strike. I roll over, look at the door, and a kid just darts out of the room. I'm like, holy crap. I just lay there for a few more minutes. I'm like, okay, nothing's happening. I kind of look up, look around the room. There's no children left in the room. I realize it's 5 o'clock in the morning, or like 5:15. I've gotten 3 hours of sleep. I lay back down, close my eyes, and realize I'm wide fucking awake. Like, I'm up. So I then just basically go downstairs and just kind of goof around on his computer and wait the hours upon hours for people to actually get up and do things that day. But it was a very freaky moment when I wake up to the sounds of children whispering all around expecting
That's like the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, I know. It was not an experience. It was just – so then I was supposed to drive back Saturday afternoon, but it came about 4 o'clock and I was just like so dead tired. So I ended up staying there. We played like one board game and I went to bed early and they all went to go see a movie and then I – woke up super early this morning with a safe night's sleep and just drove back.
Did you find out what they were doing? Did you interrogate the demons?
I didn't want to know the exact details of what was happening. I was just like one of those better off not knowing scenarios. But it was creepy as hell. Thanks, John. He's like, yeah, no, that wasn't me. If I, when I finally get you back, you're going to know it's me. So he's planning a much more elaborate So, by the way, if you know do know John Damaris, you should always tell him good luck in a convention at 5 a.m. or 5:30. Also, yeah. I always set my alarm clock based on the time zone he's at. So I get up. I'll get up at whatever random time in the morning to make sure he gets that 5:30 text.
Right. So you'll get up at like 2 in the morning if you have to to make sure he gets his at 5.
One time he said, he's like, haha, I got the text for Brian. I was still awake. Then he realized he was still awake at 5:30 in the morning and wasn't going to get anything for the con. So he was like, it was like a plus and minus for him when he realized it happened.
We shouldn't give out his telephone number to so
people
can text
him. Yeah, I should not pull up my phone. Yeah,
because oh my god, that would be kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, he knows a lot of people, so yeah, you guys. The problem is they're all at the cons, and probably they're passing out about an hour before that same time.
And you need to arrange it so that like you did it at 5 o'clock, I did it at 5:10, Keith does it at 5:20. You know, we need to get like a team of six people to get it all around.
Yeah, he has to check every text because he's always on call for his job, so he always has to check.
His phone might pick up Facebook messages. If everyone Facebook messages him at the same time.
I don't think he has Facebook to his phone because of that.
Probably. That makes sense.
He has to check his
text. Also, I'm pretty sure there's websites you can go to where you can type in a text and give it a time that you want it delivered.
Ooh, that's
like a delayed thing. That's and dangerous. Double check.
Can you schedule it?
I mean,
schedule it for like every week.
I don't know if you can do a repeated schedule because the original intent was to text yourself like reminders about things.
Yeah, no.
And yeah.
Sorry, John, you didn't want me to know that. Blame Rydia fan. So that was my story.
Wonderful story.
It was a wonderful story.
It was so goddamn creepy. I'm just like, oh, I'm in Iowa. Children of the Corn. I was like, I'm Children of the Corn's happening. That was literally my first thought. I was, oh my god.
I thought that you were about to say that you just woke up and you started swinging, and then you were taken to the jail,
just punting children.
Yeah.
If they would have tried, that could have happened. But I was just. Man, yeah. when I close
like,
my
pillow
eyes.
Fight and you just collapse their trachea.
Yeah,
it's like Dread.
Good times, it was fun. So that's story number. Well, that's my only story. My sad story was I hyped up StarCraft 2 to those guys. I got them all excited to play. Went out to my car to pick it up out of my car, and I realized it was at home.
Oh my god.
Well, I had taken it out on Monday because it was so hot. I was afraid that some of the plastics might melt.
Right.
Yep.
And everything else I left in my trunk because I don't care about those games as much as it. StarCraft is my prize gem. So I went to my car, opened it, and there was just no StarCraft there. I just stared at my trunk. I was like, oh, I was so sad.
That was almost the same feeling I got at DICON when I realized I didn't bring the wheel down for Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
Or Adepticon.
Adepticon, yeah. Yeah, when I...
Yeah, so that was my boy. That was my only sad moment of the weekend.
You just kept blinking your eyes, hoping that it would be there.
No, I
close the trunk, open it. Close the trunk, open it. Come on!
I can't decide if they give Crump less respect than we give Jeremy, and I don't know which one deserves less. But man, those two people—they're terrible. They're both just horrible.
We should have them on a 2v2 podcast. Just have them together.
It would have to be just those two. No one else even.
That's what I mean. just Jeremy and Crump.
We'll see about
in the same room.
Clusterfuckapalooza. Maybe that can be one of the tables.
Yeah. Oh god!
It's just nobody shows up. Yeah. It's like I'm just gonna go take a drink.
Yeah. Hey guys, we're gonna shuffle you out soon, and then those two just for like 5 hours just leave them in a corner talking inanely. With unplugged microphones and
no recording equipment. No one would want to listen to it anyway, so it wouldn't matter if we recorded it.
We just give you, like, fake microphones.
Give them actual
It's like
microphone.
Mr. Microphone. Like
the
Barbie.
Ones you shake and they make noise? Yes. Nice.
I heard, though, that they really appreciated Jeremy's strategy tactics, though.
Yeah, apparently.
Yes, he's very well... Jeremy's very well respected in Iowa.
Super popular in Iowa, apparently.
He's very liked... And respected. One of those is true.
Well, the thing is, his strategies are useful because they're like, Jeremy said I should do A, so let me try not. Yes. And it's great guidelines.
It's great guidelines to know what not to do.
It's like Goofus and Gallant. You know, you look at what Goofus is doing and go, oh, that's what I shouldn't do.
Man, I haven't heard that in a while.
Good times. So you guys got another battle record. We have four battles because you posted the four. I think I saw
fourth just went up today and posted. Fifth is up as well, but it's going to be released on Thursday.
It's recorded, but not out yet.
It's
not viewable.
Yeah, correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we get one. Yeah, so we're up to one. That's pretty sweet. So people have some video battle reports to watch. That'll be exciting for them.
It went from taking 12 hours to upload to 3.
Nice.
So,
that's amazing.
So not so bad.
That makes it a lot easier. So the one that just went up is Brian and Jordan?
Yep.
Okay. Brian and Jordan. Crix versus Cador.
Yep. Yep. Epic Denny, Epic Butcher.
And for Minnesota fans, Cador.
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 Yeah. I talked to Beatish a while. I'm trying to convince what I want to do sometime in, I think, September or once in October, is I want to get a bunch of us to go up to Minnesota and get a bunch of the islands to go to Minnesota and just board game the fuck out of a day.
That would be fun.
I mean, maybe some War Machine games will happen.
But no. If not, whatever.
But, I mean, the primary goal would jam with some board game days for just a whole day. And then, you know, maybe if Focus Fury's record, we can you know, give them some help.
Well,
you know,
Weekend, I'm going to bring my 17 Vanguard or my 14 Vanguard list and then nothing but board games. Yeah. Because all I want to do there is play board games and podcast.
Yeah.
You also have to play Blood Bowl.
That counts as a board game.
Midnight Tournament, Blood Bowl.
Okay.
Daikon.
I do want to try the IKRPG.
I want to do the IKRPG. I will be playing more War Machine than I did last year. I may also give some time for board games, but I need to do some IKRPG, and I need to play a little bit more War Machine than I did last year.
If possible, I might do some judging, too, obviously.
I'm gonna try not to get sick this time so that I can actually enjoy the evenings, because being sick, like, really ruined the evenings for me.
It's amazing. It is amazing how being ill makes a con just the worst thing in the world.
No, the worst thing in the world is sleeping and somebody else is ill.
Well, that was the only shining moment of my
son of a bitch.
Wait, you slept in somebody's puke?
No, you slept in Brian's sweat-covered...
You've heard this story, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. It's Adepticon 2 years ago. We get there, and I'm like, this is my side of the bed. And I lay down on the one side of the bed. I'm like, this is my side of the bed, because Brian and I were doing the two-feet-one
bed. To be fair,
I
also had called the same side of the bed, because it was near the clock, because I have to get up early.
He, in his head, had apparently called the same side of the bed.
It's always my side
so
of the
bed. So I go do stuff. He sleeps. Or I was doing midnight events, so I was going to sleep, whatever. So he's doing stuff during the day, I sleep, I get up, I do midnight stuff. He apparently, in his, like, bubonic plague fugue state, slept in that same side of the bed and just sweated
death. I had, like,
death.
Cold sweats all over it. It was, I woke up dread. I was underwater on the side of the bed.
He gets up and goes to do his thing. I come back, and I go to sleep on my side of the bed. Which is apparently now typhoid Mary style, soaked with disease and hatred.
It seems like you would have noticed. Like
I would have noticed too.
It was like an hour later or an hour and a half later, so it had a little bit of time to like seep.
Oh. the smell
the smell should have been. He was exhausted. He worked all night.
I would stumble in and collapse into the bed like half unconscious.
I went to my first tournament. No. I dropped halfway through the first round. Like whatever. I'm too sick. You win. Congratulations. Yeah. I go up to the room, and I see Nathan's on that side of the bed, and I almost threw up on the floor when I realized what he was sleeping in. I was so sick, but that made me feel even sicker.
But it didn't make you sick enough to tell me that.
Oh, no, it was too late.
You waited until the convention was done, like three sleeps later, to be like, by the way, you now have the clap.
It was so disgusting, I didn't want to bring it up to anybody. I'm like, that was the grossest thing in the world. Then like, the next day, I'm like, oh, I did it again. I'm like, Well, in my mind, I called my side of the bed, so I felt that that's what you get.
You're supposed to be able to read Brian's mind. That's a known fact. Right.
One of us had called it verbally.
By the way, it's why I never want to share beds, because I always get sick. But
God.
I lost my appetite. I had some really awesome Culver's fish here.
I mean, I've never sweat. I was just, it was literally, I woke up underwater. I was like, what's happening? Why am I in the bath? Why am I in the ocean?
Oh,
God.
Bastard.
How'd you not notice that? It's like you get in, whoosh.
It's like putting in a wet tennis shoe.
You walk up to the bed, there's a fucking lifeguard on duty. You should notice this. I don't care how late you stay up at night.
You forget what my Adepticons are like. I have like 45 minutes total sleep over the 3 days.
I do the same shifts at the Adepticon as well.
So that's that. Good times. Good.
So that was
reminiscing.
So
lesson learned. Bring a cot.
Wow. Brian's the worst.
Fucking horrible.
All right then.
So other fun topics.
We were going to talk about the hobby
aspect. We don't want to talk about like this is how I paint a model because it's really hard to do that verbally. I prefer mixing this color with three-fourths part this and one part matte medium.
What about your NMM? That's good NMM you got on that thing there. Good NMM. But I don't even, like, it's not metallic metals. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It's basically, instead of painting.
I don't care what it means.
Well, fine. but just in case if anybody else wants
some
to know what it is,
peaked up.
Instead of painting with the metallic metals, like you would use, like, gunmetal or something like that, you would paint it with grays and silver or in... and other shades of gray and different colors to make it look like it's metal.
It's the, called the
hence non-metallic metal.
Correct.
Yeah.
It
so
is.
So what I would do instead of like belaboriously shading like 13 different shades of gray and white and black to make something look like steel, I would use the steel paint and put one layer on.
I will say this, so it, from the point of when these that style looks amazing, which means you have to have many years in practicing this. And everything up to that point looks like shit.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it doesn't look very good until you get to that stage where it's amazing.
But to me, if you're that good with painting, you probably could have made one of the metals look good. I don't know.
Potentially.
Well, they do. I mean, there's a lot of cool things you could do. I mean, like some of the stuff that I learned from at Lock and Load, they do actually two-brush blending with the metallics as well. It makes it look very, very smooth.
Privateer, I will say, I've done this at Gen Con. Andy's done it. The Privateer Press painting seminars are so amazing because it's just they take their time going through how they do their two blend method, and they really take the time to make sure the class understands what's happening. And you will leave that class with some knowledge. Now, of course, if you don't paint for like 6 months after that, it's not going to help you too much.
No,
but theoretically, if you actually practice that method, you can catch it on pretty easily, and it's really sweet.
See, me, I have never mixed two color paints in my life. I've never blended anything. It's like, this knife should be made of steel, so I use steel. And this guy's pants should be green, so I paint them green. And they look okay from tabletop away.
Then you pour some wash over it, you're done?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes I wash them. Yeah. Sometimes I don't.
I've been spending so much time.
I've started dipping. And dipping works okay. And when you
dipping
do that,
is a wash. That's all
dipping,
it is.
Yeah.
For anybody who says that dipping is cheating and that it's
just a wash.
It's just a wash. It's putting detail on your
miniature.
It's
weird smelling bucket of wash.
Yeah. Yes. And if you get the right stuff, it also seals it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Although I would still put a matte coat over the top of it because dip it's very shiny. But no, since I've done my pigs are all Minwax dipped and they look pretty good actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking, one thing, how someone approaches painting or making terrain. Like I have no natural artistic skill. I am very happy with my level of painting right now.
I've seen your scorn. They look like shit.
Thanks, Jordan.
Wow. But yeah.
Seriously,
that was so much. Jordan, the way Jordan talked to me after the podcast was pretty funny. Like, yeah, sorry, bro. But when I make my terrain, it's like I don't have the natural skill, so I use like the brute force, constant practice, copying someone else's method, and just studying. And it's like I have to like go a few extra levels of effort to get to the starting point where some people can just have that natural ability. And it's just some people are like, well, I'm not good at painting, so I don't paint, or I'm not good at making terrain, and that's fine. But luckily, I have determination, and I'm stubborn, and I just want to get something done. Or I'm really annoyed at like a local store's selection of terrain, so like somebody has to make terrain,
and then they glue all your trees down.
Well, yeah,
and then you never make terrain for that store
luckily,
again.
Yeah, or other crazy things, which is always fun. But it's just interesting that people that. What if there's weird sounds happening?
I think somebody's vacuuming upstairs.
Yeah,
which is weird because someone's vacuuming and someone's vacuuming upstairs.
Yeah, right.
An unusual statement. I guess Nick is jobless, so he's that bored. He's like, I don't have a job. I finally vacuumed. I got done masturbating for 3 weeks.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
What? Topical. Yes, you were talking about terrain?
Oh, yes.
I'm going to be murdered.
Yeah, I mean, just the, and then like, because some people like I also like if I paint something I can't say I can't imagine like what three colors go good together. I have to go look at what people did, find out what they did to make those colors, and then copy that person.
Well, then you say like your scorn pattern, like you got that paint scheme
quarter 17. I got my entire
scorn
great. Is based off of that.
But yeah,
and like or if I see a different model, I'm like okay. Or if I see a color scheme I like, I can apply it somewhere else.
Yep.
Right, and that there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? It's if it looks good. Use it, and you talk about like the brute force practice. If you do anything enough times, you'll get good at it. Like,
did you hear about the guy who like quit his job and was like, "I'm going to become a professional golfer and put like 50,000 hours of golf."
And he sucks at golf.
No, he's really good. Well, because his whole point was that if you put enough practice in anything, you can become great.
You do anything for 100,000 hours, you'll be the best in the world at it.
Yeah,
yeah, and. He had no interest in golf. He just wanted to prove his point.
Well, maybe he could have picked something he did have interest in and prove his point and enjoy it.
But this more so proves his point, right?
I guess so.
You don't even have to enjoy it to do well at it if you just played it.
Hopefully you didn't hate it. God damn it.
That's the worst.
Hour 12, I hate myself.
That's how I feel every time I play regular golf.
Only 900 hours to go, and I'll show them all.
Some people really enjoy shoving it in other people's face, so it's worth it to them, apparently.
I can understand that, though.
I like golf. It's just, yeah, you have to, it's, golf is like bowling, where you, when you do it with three other friends, you all have to be equally good or bad at it.
Or it's really frustrating.
Or it's really frustrating. Like, if there's one ringer and then three people who suck, like, nobody likes when you go bowling and it's like 98, 102, 113, and 290.
Right.
It's like, fuck you, 290 guy.
Yeah.
None of us like you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thing is, though, as he was getting up to 290, why didn't he get shivved?
Right.
So you're going up for that backswing.
That's what happens.
Because I tried to shiv them, but there were like three of them back to back in the middle of the room, and it didn't matter where I threw my brick.
That makes no sense.
That's a callback.
Callback to, but we're referencing things pre podcast. Take that, people.
Yeah, well, you recommended this game twice.
Yes, so. I did.
It's a great game.
It's a great
for everyone except Nathan.
Nathan has a is evidently challenged at killing zombies in the futuristic world.
No,
he's just not that good at video games.
The game,
he wasn't bad at video games. I've talked to I know some people who play this game, and there are challenging moments here.
Are you
going to
mention the game we're talking about?
If people don't know the game I'm talking about, I've talked about a ton of this podcast.
All right,
and they're in trouble.
Okay.
But evidently, Nathan can't handle zombies.
No, I can handle them fine. I just knew that I was going to get frustrated. I'm like, you know what? This game isn't worth the frustration it's giving me. Like, for somebody who could die 20 times at the same spot and be like, oh, I'll get on number 21 and be excited, good for you. After time, like, 14, I was like, I'm turning this game off and deleting my save file now.
See, I don't, like I said, I found the first time I encountered some of those batches of enemies, it was hard. But once I beat the batch once, and then I never had that bad of a problem again.
Yeah.
It was definitely the first time understanding some of the mechanics, understanding how I can play the game, and then understanding strategy. And then I was like, okay, now there were definitely challenging fights throughout the game, but nothing at all compared.
First real fight is just such a bitch.
Yeah. But after,
and it might have broken, because then I got to the next room, and I failed, twice, and I'm like, nah, fuck it.
Yeah.
I had been too demoralized from
that first room really demoralized.
That's the thing. Is the next one, I only lost the next one two or three times, and now it's like, nah, I'm done with that.
Is that the one where you threw the bottle and had to replay it a million times?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. That's when I stopped watching him play the game.
The first challenge in the game shouldn't be the hardest.
I mean, thing is, there are other things that happen before that they're like, here, little child, I'm going to show you a fight where you start out behind your enemy and he doesn't know you're there and you have a shiv.
Right.
It'll be hard for you, but I have faith in you. And then the fight's like, hey, fucker, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It separates those who can succeed and those who are little whiny bitches.
Well, it's the first fight where you face runners, right?
There's runners and clickers. There's everything.
Yeah, it's a miserable fight, especially on hard. Oh, my God.
Are we actually going to mention what game this is?
No.
Brian refused to. I offered that we should do that. He said no.
I think we should. We've mentioned zombies, runners, and clickers, and he recommended it twice.
World, yeah. So if you're and no one from Springfield is in this game, there's just a random other callback.
Wow.
Which makes no sense.
If he was, I would have played more.
To be fair, Jordan had pretty much the same complaint you did. His complaint was, I don't enjoy a game where I have to sit there and watch the pattern for 30 minutes in order to figure out how to clear a room.
Well, that's what it was. It wasn't even necessarily watching the pattern. It was the weapons aren't good enough and you don't have enough ammo, so the game pretends you have a choice, but really you have to stealth through. You have to stealth through 90% of it. And so what it is, it's like, so there's a room and there's an enemy. It's like, well, I'll approach it from this way. Nope, death. What about from a quarter of a degree further to the right? Nope, death. A little bit more, death.
Really,
oh, wait, try 20. It worked.
You are
so
really
apparently,
bad at games. You should, by the way, never play that PS3 system game. Is that different game system? It's Deadly Dark Souls.
Don't
ever play Dark Souls. Dark Souls is 50 times more this. Every second, every step, every movement, every bath in Dark Souls for all 50 hours is like that.
But the difference is in Dark Souls that when you die, it's like, hey, you suck and now you're really wrecked because you died once.
Yeah, but Dark Souls is this is that element.
But at least you can fight somewhat maybe sometimes.
No, every puzzle, everything, that's a puzzle. Like, how do you, which pattern works? Dark Souls, every battle is a puzzle. Every second you move is a puzzle. There's traps all in a room. Every movement you make is a puzzle. Anything you buy is a puzzle. Everything, it's a super complex game. That makes this game easy.
That skeleton just attacked me and it attacked high and I forgot to block it, so therefore now I'm dead.
Instant death.
And I gotta do that
again. Well, that's fine. It was the small difference between failure and success. There's this window you have to. It felt like really, really trial and error-y. Like, as much as other people love it, it's like the go-to game on people's phones. I got so sick of Angry Birds really quickly, because if you fire your bird at 82 degrees, you fail. If you fire it at 84 degrees, you fail. It's 83 degrees that you have to successfully fire it. And it's not like you even can see that. And so it's like restart, miss slightly, restart, miss slightly, restart, miss slightly. And that's what this game
mode
would do, is
I think I think you have to add in a level of you just being bad. Because if I got frustrated, I also would stop a game like that. But I only fall in the first fight bad. And then from there, there was a couple of challenges. I mean, there were fights where I did die 2 or 3 times. But, I mean, I would go through 50 enemies and die maybe only once. Or I would just fire a few times and just miss poorly.
I struggled. The first time I ran into guys with firearms, I died a couple of times. And I was like, oh, well, okay. So that's something you need to account for slightly differently.
Yeah, you have to get duck and cover.
The first fight might have just broken me, because the second fight, I only failed like twice and then I turned off the game.
You probably right.
Like, sure. I didn't want.
Yeah. And I told Brent, I ran into that first fight and I was like, man, this fight is a bitch. He's like, yeah, Nathan's struggling with that same fight. I think everyone hits that fight and it's just like,
well,
a
then
wall.
It shouldn't be the first fight.
It shouldn't be.
It's technically like, not. You fight a couple.
It's the first real fight.
It's the first fight. Big fight. But, you know. Honestly, if you stealth kill the first two guys, I mean, I don't know. There's like seven
fucking guys in that room.
Yeah, there's six runners and a clicker.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, three of them you can stealth kill individually, and then the other four stay in a room together. Yeah. Just in the same room. You can't stealth kill anymore.
There's cocktails. There's other kind of traps.
There's no cocktails yet there. You get cocktails after that fight.
Okay. Yeah,
that fight, you have a brick and a bottle and a magnum.
And a shiv.
And a shiv. I made a second shiv because there was a locked room upstairs. There was a room upstairs that was like, do you want to use your shiv to open this room? I said, sure. And then I found two more shivs in it, so it was worth it. But
magic,
like,
shiv room.
It was meh. Yeah.
That fight was.
Well, good. That's fine. You'll just.
And the thing is, like,
future, you're, I don't know, beauty, I, you're a bigger failure to me.
I've no guard killed like every single Metal Gear Solid game. Like, I'm okay with stealth games. I don't know.
You're getting older. You're more incompetent. You're failing more at life.
I think the difficulty curve was just bullshit.
Oh, it's so adorable.
Well, did you play it on normal or hard, Brian?
I did normal.
Pussy.
If you played it on hard, like, playing it on hard is brutal.
Oh, I played it on the worst difficulty and it was really hard and I got frustrated. Oh, wow, maybe you
played it. No, that's what I'm just saying.
Play it on normal. Oh, wow, now it's a challenging fight. And then once you play through a game and you understand the mechanics and you play through it hard, then it's not that bad. It's like, oh, I played XCOM and Impossible and I died all the time. Stupid fucking game.
I might have actually been on normal, in all honesty.
If you were on normal, I'd have trouble. We're going to say it's hard to not lose complete respect for you. We're going to assume you played it on hard.
Whatever.
You want to be a big boy.
Everyone agrees that first fight is utter bullshit. The fact is, I just didn't bother giving it a second fight. Yeah. That bullshit was enough that I stopped.
There are so many
Plus,
games.
Plus, you were like, I need that game because I want to loan it to somebody. I'm like, meh,
yeah,
no, all right.
Yeah, I got to
like
people.
If I owned it, I'd keep playing it. I don't, so fuck it.
Yeah. Here's the real problem is now I want to go play XCOM.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost bought it again because of the Steam sale. I own it on PS3. I almost bought it and Borderlands on the PC. Like, Borderlands just so I could play with more people, and XCOM just because it's XCOM.
I own XCOM on the PC, and I was still, like, tempted to buy it again, just tell them how awesome it is.
Right.
Here's a Steam shout-out sale, or a thing. Go buy Orcs Must Die 2. Most of us have picked it up.
You son of a bitch. I was going to recommend it.
Orcs Must Die 2.
I was going to recommend it.
Damn it.
God damn it.
Fuck.
I didn't say you should go buy it and play it with us. Multiplayer, Orcs Must Die 2.
Awesome fun.
And it's one of the five things I bought. Six things.
All right. So far, I only bought one thing.
So, you know, any other hobby-related things? I mean, any other strength? And do you have any things that when you paint or you... I mean, because you spent a weekend learning how to use an airbrush, and you tried... I mean, not a weekend, but you started earlier this week, and you just went through the motions of...
I learned not to mix your paints too thin, because then it doesn't stick anywhere. It just goes everywhere, and it's kind of annoying.
Seems bad.
You learn the correct ratio to make plaster. It's 1:3, not 3:1.
That was a couple of weeks ago, and my frustration caused the mammoth to be delayed even further. But the mammoth base is almost done right now. It just needs a couple more coats of black on it.
You're going to delay it more on purpose out of spite, because Brian told you the wrong ratio. You're just going to put it in a closet for a month.
It's already been in a closet for a month. Yeah. No, it should be in Brian's hands early next week.
Nice.
I mean,
Monday or Tuesday.
You approach, like, this is how I approach painting. If I have to paint some models, I put them on a shelf for a couple days. I stare at them like, damn you motherfuckers. And then I clean out an area. I get my paints out. I get some paper towels out. I get the area to look like I'm going to paint. And then I stare at that for a couple days. And then I just kind of build up an eternal rush of just energy and hatred and frustration. And then I go and I prime them. And then I just paint the fuck out of them. But it takes me about from the day I say I want to paint this model, it takes me at least 7 days to paint. And then I just barrel through them like a motherfucker. That's my process.
My process is to put it off and put it off until I finally get to the point where, you know, that other people are yelling at me to finish things.
Well, you have yelling that phase, and then it's like you want to go to the event that's in, you know, 3 days, and then you're really motivated to get it.
I'm looking at my Trollbloods right now, and I'm thinking that I don't think Gen Con fully painted is going to be doable.
You said lock and loaded, fully painted. You're going to get Gen Con fully painted. You got this.
That's still like 3.5 weeks away.
Yeah, I've got 30 models to paint.
You spend 30 models. That's only 2 a day.
When I painted my Scorn, I spent Monday through Friday 3 out of 4 hours a night, Saturday, Sunday, 6 hours a day painting for 4 months straight.
Ooh. It's not like you do anything at work, Andy.
I can't bring my airbrush to work.
No.
I don't trust my... Right now, I'm messing with my airbrush. I want to paint more stuff with it, but I do not have the skills to paint anything else with my airbrush yet, except for base coating. So
that still takes you some time.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty darn quick. I can usually spend like... I don't know. When I was base coating my other stuff, just doing the skin for my Creole Stone, that took a while. And doing the airbrush actually didn't take very long.
You can get it done by Gen Con.
Mulg and... Well, my goal is if I can't finish my army by then, I want to... The two models that I want finished are Mulg and my Earthborn.
Yeah, I'd like to see... I've been looking forward to seeing those painted for a while.
Your Earthborn needs to be entered into a contest.
Yes. Yeah. He will be.
That mod job is really cool.
Yep.
His... the way... Just his skin painted blue. I don't know if you saw the Facebook post, but...
No.
Yeah, he looks awesome. I'll bring him in here in a second so you guys can look at him.
So all the listeners can see him. Hold it up to the microphone real close. Okay, so they can sure.
Yeah, exactly. One thing with the hobby, some people are like, well, some people say everyone should just paint their models, but they don't realize just getting into painting is kind of expensive. Yep. It's like you get into an army is expensive. I mean, when I look at, like, I have just trays upon trays of paints, and each paint bottle is, you know, $5, $6.
Yeah. Yep.
Brushes are, you know, a cheap, okay brush.
I don't know if they're made out of unicorn pubes or what. Like, why the fuck are brushes so expensive?
Yeah, a cheap brush is usually $8 to $10. I never pay more. I always pay around $15 or less. I mean, I try not to go.
Yeah.
But I'm also very.
It's 10 hairs on a stick. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
I take very poor care of my brushes and my items. I should take better care, but I just don't. So I only spend $15 or less on a brush. But still, I have any given time, I want 5 brushes.
Yeah,
I want 5 brushes. I want at least 30 things of paint. You know, yeah. I mean, that's you know, $5 times 30 things of paint.
Yep.
Times 5 brushes times everything else is less expensive. You want your work area, all your napkins, all your whatever things.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, it all adds up.
Yeah, and I didn't realize what a difference it made, though. Like, when I'm playing my fully painted Legion, since I bought it almost all painted already from Marshall, it really is really fun to play with a painted army. Like, it really does make a difference, in my opinion. And it doesn't make enough of a difference for me to learn how to have the self-control to actually paint my ret, but it makes me wish that I did.
That's one step in the right direction.
One step in the right direction.
Yeah, me, like, once a year, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, painting is the best thing ever. And I'll paint and just really enjoy it and paint, like, 10, 20 of my models. And then the other 362 or 3 days of the year, it's the worst thing ever, and I despise it.
Yeah.
I have no motivation to do it.
Yeah, like, I can prime my stuff, and that's about as far as I can make myself go.
We should have a paint night.
Paint days help. Painting with other people helps a lot.
See, that works. I mean, some people, I know Andy loves that. People do that down at Pegasus. I just kind of sit in front of my computer and paint. Like, but the thing is, I can't offer advice. Like, when Shimon shows me a model halfway done, I'm like, halfway done.
I mean, well, you don't even need to share advice. Like, we could be paint, like, you know, obviously we're a podcast now, but we could just be chit chatting and talking about bullshit and be painting right now.
Yeah.
Most I've ever painted Jeremy's models was when Jordan came over. And we all painted together.
Yeah.
Having other people around, that's
it makes it. It's something that you do together, and so it's more of a social thing than I have to do it.
Have that P3 bag for carrying paints and brushes, which makes me more possible. In the past, I has had things everywhere, so it was really hard for me to get things from point A to point B.
Yeah.
consistently.
Yeah.
But
I would be more than happy to support a paint day of like Sunday afternoon or something like that.
No, we podcast just, then.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that would probably be bad, because then we could podcast on, right
we could,
afterwards.
We could go on Twitch TV and have a painting with Crippled Systems at 6 p.m.
Jesus.
Suddenly, missiles are being shot at Madison.
No, we'll go on. We'll go live at 6:55.
Yeah.
No, that's a decent, like, for people who don't like to paint, you know, I think the two things that, for me, as someone who doesn't like to paint, but wants a painted army and whatever, would be paint with other people. And don't be ashamed to dip. It's not a horrible shortcut. It's a way to it honestly is easy and has decent results.
Yeah.
Like you put on, you don't have to mix any colors. You just, you know, it's like coloring book. This guy's pants are green, his shirt's red, his face is cream colored, his hat's blue, and then you dip them and they look shockingly good.
Yeah,
it's nothing to be ashamed of. They don't look like shit.
Yeah, I mean, you could even speed that up even tremendously with an airbrush. You can airbrush the base coat right onto the model. That takes you, you know, like an hour to airbrush a ton of things. And then dip it. That's another hour dealing with that. You have a fully painted forest in 2 hours.
Yeah. But I mean I'm talking about
tabletop quality, that is. And then if you really wanted to go more into it.
Because this goes to the expense thing. Like, you can have a dozen different colors, and it's enough. You know, you can have just a few metals, a weather color, the primary colors, a couple different shades of those, a flesh tone, you know, $50 or so worth of paint, and a $5 jug of Minwax, and you can do a decent job of getting tabletop quality of all your models.
You can also adjust the Minwax, too. You'll get different types of shades on your models.
Yep.
So many companies make, like, locally, the last square of our store, they sell a variety of different companies, Minwax type things. You can just get Minwax from like Walmart, but there's like painting companies that actually make a bunch of different things, and like I said, different shades of them. Different
Army Painter is a big one.
Yeah,
their primers and all washes are actually really good for them.
I love their things.
Primer.
That's the word I like to use. Interesting movie as well, but that's a different topic.
It is an interesting movie. That's
a little overrated, but it's interesting.
It's a little overrated, but it's solid. It's a B+, A- film that a lot of people just like jerk themselves off.
It's a B+ movie, just like Star Trek. Oh God! Put them in the same category. Star Trek Wrath. What? I should say it's B+ quality.
That's true. Star Trek wasn't that bad. It was just worse than the A+ first one. That's it.
What rating would you give Michael Bay Star Trek?
Oh, it's probably one of Michael Bay's best films, honestly. I did like the Onion article, I think it was last week or this week, where Michael Bay was directing a love story about two explosions that fall in love.
Oh, we forgot to get the last printed
The Onion isn't going to print anymore.
Not in Madison.
Yeah. The thing about that being true, it's born in Madison. But luckily, it's been on the internet for the last like 12 years. So
yeah. But why would you want to go there when you can have a printed version in your hand? It's why I read the newspaper.
Who reads the newspaper?
I do.
I just bought the first
black
newspaper.
And white and red all over. Elephants.
I thought it was a bloody nun. I just bought the first newspaper I bought in years from a hobo the other day, yesterday on State Street. Like, they have the homeless newspaper they sell like to raise money and everything. And I actually bought one because I was interested in the cover stories, because there was a lady who tried to commit suicide off the Monona Terrace, and a homeless guy stopped her.
So he's getting
an award or something from the mayor. And then the other one was about Silent Bob, not the Kevin Smith character, but the State Street homeless guy,
who
two guys decided to beat him to death. So they just beat him to death.
The hell?
Well, he's a hobo. Who cares, right? So they just killed him.
So the homeless guy
killing's totally cool.
Yeah. They are on trial for first degree intentional homicide with it. Like, they're going to jail forever.
Because they see
a homeless person as subhuman. It's not like killing a real person. It's like killing a dog.
It's exactly like killing a real person, as it turns out.
You also shouldn't kill a dog.
I know you shouldn't. I'm just saying. Note, I did not do it.
I have an important question for the first homeless person. How he saved the person is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Where is he going to put the award?
I think he'd
prefer a sandwich.
Wouldn't you eat
the award? Is it an edible sandwich?
It's kind of interesting because he helped. The lady had been there like because her house is getting like evicted. She was going to get evicted of her clothes or whatever, and so she was meeting with some city worker, and she seemed so depressed that when she left, the city worker followed her like stealthily, like sneakily, like watching her from like around corners, and saw that she was going to jump. And so like if that lady hadn't been like, wow, she seems really depressed, she just would have been gone. It's just kind of weird.
Seems, like, it seems like you would pick some place like, higher than the Monona Terrace.
You don't
it's
need
not
70
really
feet down
up,
to a concrete bike
yeah,
path.
Yeah, yeah, I guess
you
true.
Can do major damage from falling
drop
off the
drop a watermelon off of that thing, and that's the human skull.
Yeah.
Like something, some insane number, like double-digit numbers of people die every year in America just rolling out of bed.
Yeah, I've
like they're in sleep, they roll out of bed, and snap their neck and die.
It's probably more from falling funny.
Or there's children whispering.
Right.
Or
but it's only 3 feet.
Right.
You know?
They hear all the whispering, so they fall over and die.
Right. Yes. The Iowa people. Yeah, maybe the Iowa children snap their necks and roll them out of the bed.
And they're like, he fell.
Nice.
Damn them.
So that's painting.
Well, I bought a newspaper. Hobby. That's my other story. I bought it as I work on Toronto. I needed to, like something to paint over, so I painted over the newspaper. That was my newspaper story. I brought the stories together. I bought a newspaper for my trains.
So. There you go, full circle.
I will have a train article up probably in 2 weeks. I made a bunch of a whole variety of new items that's going
to
go up.
I really like the. I've been watching your blog, so I've actually seen some of the pictures already. I really like the change you made to the sides of your hills.
Yeah,
somebody recommended that, right?
Yeah, someone because I posted some ideas on the Fair Trips Farm. Like this is how I do hills. I'm tweaking it a few ways. What are some other people's ideas? Because again, I like to steal ideas and manipulate them. And a bunch of people posted some ideas and suggestions, and one of them I liked a lot, and I kind of went with, and I think they look amazing.
Yeah, the change to the sides is a really big change for your hills. I like it.
Cool. All right, so that is Hobbyland with us. Woohoo!
Woo!
How far are we in this podcast time-wise?
40 minutes.
All right.
That's a short one.
So we have
we haven't cornered yet.
Katie's Corner and something else.
And then we got announcements, we got lightning round, we got Katie's Corners, we got recommendations.
I don't think we even
I don't think we tweeted.
We don't
tweet anything.
We may not have a lightning round this year.
We'll tweet it right now and say ASAP, we're mid-record.
People very quickly respond.
Hey, anybody listening? Yeah.
So, Katie, what's Katie's Corner?
Where the hell is my phone? Oh, you have my phone over there, son of a bitch. When did you steal my phone?
A while ago.
That picture on it.
You had too much porn on it, I needed to see some of it.
There's no such thing as too much porn, shut up.
This one is not really a corner. It's just that we're going to
Gen Con.
It's a square. We're going to Gen Con.
Gen Con!
Whenever that happens to be.
Well, Andy's there the entire Gen Con. He's the diehard one.
And then Brian and Jeremy and I will be there for at least the Saturday.
I will also be there Saturday.
And Nathan will also be there Saturday. Are you going to drive down with us?
Possibly. So, Raylene and I have a friend who lives somewhere in Indiana. We're going to check and see if he's near Indianapolis. If it is, the two of us will drive separate from you. Because she's interested in Gen Con and, you know, meeting all the nerdy celebrities and whatnot. So I either might draw separately, or if she doesn't come down, then the four of us can hypothetically carpool.
It will not be difficult, but if you go alone, someone on this podcast will tell you that you can stay with them, because we found a room where we jammed up in a room pretty tight, you will easily find a room with somebody.
Sure.
That's not a problem. But
snuggle.
We're actually leaving Friday midday.
Yep.
Because we want to buy our Saturday badge Friday night, because Saturday is the worst day to walk in, because it's the zoo they have there. So they have their dress, it's the biggest, every day is dress up day now, but they have like dress up contests.
Are you tweeting?
No,
I'm
haven't
gonna tweet right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did.
Oh, Andy tweeted. Ooh, we had a tweet off. So yeah, with Gen Con, it'll be fun. Anything else? Because you've never been there, right, Katie?
I've never been there. It sounds like it'll be super fun, and I want to see people in costumes. I've never seen people.
If we planned properly, I would have got tickets for it, or I would have got a hotel room in January. But I didn't think we were going, or I wasn't going to go. And then we got excited this summer.
It's just a day trip, so it'll be fine.
Plus, it's worth the gas money to go down there for me, just so I can buy a shitload of Convergence with my Press Ganger points.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That is huge. I'm making the trip mostly just so I can swing by the private jet press store and say, "Give me all of this."
There is a new expansion for Lords of Waterdeep that will be there. There's an expansion for Fortune and Glory that's going to be there.
Does the expansion for Lords of Waterdeep add a Provost and a bailiff, because that's what I think that game needs.
We need to play Kalis.
I'm just kidding.
Group. If you would have showed up today, I'm going to spend time with my fiance. I spent time with her yesterday and today. We're happily together.
Part of it's actually because there was a post in the Muse on Minis forums where this guy, he's basically just like, "Hey, I need advice because my marriage is in shambles and it's going to end over War Machine." and so,
congratulations.
Yeah.
And first of all, asking gamers.
We're playing.
I don't.
I'll
figure
it out later.
And
she is more than welcome to come.
She is.
So I don't understand.
No, I don't. Doesn't.
My advice has been being single is awesome.
Yes, we know what your advice was, Brian.
Being single is awesome. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You can do shit every day of the week, and who cares?
Do you know the worst part of people? Being there.
Yeah. that's
I really
true.
Like my cats and my dog.
Yeah. They don't talk back.
Malcolm does sometimes.
I like sex.
Not really.
Yeah.
I guess you don't need other people for that.
Exactly.
I don't.
You don't.
Plus, then you're not a werewolf.
Yeah. There's a callback.
Wow, yeah. That's a long callback.
I just listened to episode 2. That's amazing.
It was an old one. I don't know. It was forever ago.
It was in the teens, I think. I don't know.
It was a long time
Someone
ago.
Tell us which episode was involved. We're in the
fact check this.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Let us know.
Kate, by the way, do you have any 26-year-old or any friends who'd be interested in a British accent 26-year-old? Did you see that tweet?
Yeah, that was a tweet. I was going to read it for the lightning round.
I could have been part of lightning.
She doesn't read the tweets.
Your friend with the giant titties, does she like people with British accents?
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Pip.
Done.
Giant tits loves a British accent.
And she's awesome. She's my best friend.
There you go. She is. And is she single?
No.
As far as I'm concerned.
She's
with someone Katie doesn't agree with her decisions on, so...
There you go.
From Katie's point of view, single.
So not only does she have giant gazongers, and she loves British accents, because Love Actually is accurate.
Like, accurate.
If you have a British accent, you're just going to get laid in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
And Katie will help you drive her away from her current significant other.
Yeah, right?
It would be
And I got a guest bedroom you can crash in until the two of you get married.
So do we.
There you go. So you can live with a podcast member and bang their giant, fun-bagged, British accent-loving friend.
Word of advice, though, we've had one friend who tried to woo her and hit her with a...
Bocce ball?
Don't do that.
Yeah.
It did not work?
It did not work.
Oh, okay.
For some reason...
I will give you one guess which one of our friends would be that classy.
They weren't actually 12 at the time, so it no longer works.
No, this is a friend you guys know.
Yeah, was it like... They're playing bocce
slipped. No, like she, wham, okay. Into the leg.
So Mary is my friend's name, and she ran into my cabinet and got a big bruise on
her. She's super coordinated.
On her thigh.
Well,
and so our friend took the bocce ball and just hit her really hard in the bruise.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I like girls smash. Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of like when I was like 12 and guys would hit on girls. Like just significantly reminded me of that.
So he was literally hitting on her.
Yeah, he was hitting on her. And he was like, this will be funny. And I was like, no, it won't.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is very unsmooth.
Yep.
Like,
there's not coming back from that.
No, there isn't.
No,
that's, you're done.
You never recover from that.
You do not.
So, a callback to 12 is smooth move, X-Lex.
That's Gen Con. We'll be there.
Did we have any other announcements?
We're going to have, we will have some podcast shirts to probably sell on the down low.
Well, no, we'll have shirts that you'll have with you. Mm-hmm. And then if people happen to drop money on the table, you might accidentally forget one of them.
Yeah,
you would never sell things at Gen Con.
That would be wrong.
Yeah, we're not, no.
We'll be having to print it off.
If you wanted
week.
To buy us dinner at some point, then there might be a t-shirt.
No, what, hey, anybody who shows up to Gen Con, remember that shirt that you left at our place? Oh, also unrelated, there's that money that you owe us.
Yes.
We can solve both of those.
Yeah.
Probably 20-ish. We have to order them and see what it costs. We have to figure out the price and whatnot. But 15, probably 15, 20-ish. We won't all get.
Yep.
But
T-shirt price.
Yeah, whatever that is. So
we could make a concert t-shirt price, too, and that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe even if they want shirts and we'd sell them. They know they're going to meet us, we could maybe even try to get a... I mean, we're not going to be carrying like boxes with us, but I mean, if some people in the thing post...
Jeremy's just going to wear 20 shirts and just peel them off like an onion.
No one wants a shirt that I've worn. Now, Katie wore them all.
The bottom layers they won't want. The outer layers might not be as bad.
No, I'm just saying, if there were shirts that Katie was wearing, we could charge more for them.
That old vinegar tits.
Wow!
First,
after they do smell like vinegar.
What?
That's another call.
The t-shirts.
The t-shirts smell like vinegar.
Oh my gosh!
The funny, I can't imagine Katie running around like 8 3XL shirts on.
I think
whatever.
That'd be hilarious.
She looked like Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka, or Charlie. No, from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Oh, yeah. The good one.
Yes.
Or Willy Wonka, which was Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory was the good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it focused on Charlie, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory focused on Willy Wonka, so they're misnamed.
They are misnamed.
Oh my god, that was awful, though.
Yeah, no, that's not the
Johnny Depp one.
I don't understand. So, like, this is the thing about Johnny Depp, is most of his movies are so terrible.
Benny and June is amazing.
I did enjoy Benny and June, actually.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape is amazing.
I don't remember that one.
Johnny Depp and...
Ants.
and Tim Burton need to stay the fuck away from each other, because Edward Scissorhands was great, and then they made awful movies together over and over.
Sleepy Hollow is pretty awesome
too. Like, they made a few good ones, and then it's like Edward Scissorhands, or not, excuse me, good God, Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory, or Charlie, whichever
that's
one.
That's when they should have stopped.
Bad.
Tim Burton was involved with Big Fish. That was amazing.
Big Fish was amazing. Big Fish amazing, and it's not.
What's the other one?
Dark Shadows was awful. Oh. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was awful. There was a couple other
ones.
Alice in Wonderland was awful. Like, they keep making these movies that are fucking horrible, and they just need to stay away from each other.
Of those two movies, at least I know some people who are okay with Alice, but the other two are very
people. Well, the reason Alice is so creepy is, you know who he patterned his character after, right?
Who? The director?
No, Johnny Depp. He always picks, like, a real person to pattern his character after. And it was Michael Jackson.
No, that was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, was it Charlie? Yeah, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Either way, it was creepy as hell.
But the point is, they're not good. And the other thing, Johnny Depp, the last decade or so, stop being Captain Jack Sparrow in every movie.
I think
stop
you have
being
to
that.
Stop giving him $20 million per movie.
Yeah, that is the thing.
See, he did every once, but
he was actually awesome in 21 Jump Street.
Yes, 21 Jump Street,
where he wasn't the crazy wavy hands, googly eyes Jack Sparrow thing like he did in this and his Tonto and everything. Just
stop being
Captain Jack.
Yeah.
I think it's
Captain Jack was so good. But just leave it in that movie.
I think
he's so rich and makes so much money per movie that he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like, okay,
if you gave me that much money, I'd be shitty in movies,
will you be terrible in this movie and do awful and people will complain about you, but I'll give you $25 million. I suppose I'll put myself through the horrors of being awful for $25 million.
Like, right? Who's going to tell him, like, hey, that's a terrible job, you shouldn't
do that.
Everybody reviewing his films?
The movie has to not make over what he's being paid.
His last movie, the Tonto, the Lone Ranger, is the first actual...
Flop
he's been in. The other movies that
they've all been wildly successful.
Be awful in them, but Charlie and Chuck, those movies are making money. So who, it's like,
I mean, I went to Alice in Wonderland. I regret it, but
if you're a movie,
I thought Alice in Wonderland was decent.
I really
it was better
like
than Wonka.
Yeah.
If you review movies,
it's not in the bar real
hard. Actors have to put up with all these reviewers saying how your movies are terrible.
Yeah.
So like, what matters to them is, did it make a ton of money? Because if it made a ton of money, a bunch of people
saw it. And it's really hard for a Hollywood movie to not make money nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, people see that, like, you're just guaranteed at least $100 million just by default, because that's just what you make, and then everything else is maybe.
Well, that's why so many sequels are so shitty, because they're like, well, everyone will come see it because they love the first one. We're just going to make tons of money.
Well,
and
they're not
going to
take any risks anymore because it takes so much to put the movies in production in the first place.
Yeah. And that's why good movies.
Fucking Grown Ups 2
beat
Pacific Rim at the box office. Like, fuck you, America.
Yeah, I'm disappointed by that.
Hey, how about that Conjuring movie, though? I heard that's supposed to be
That's supposed to be amazing.
We're going
to
see it
Tuesday. You want to come?
Maybe.
We just thought we just had
I haven't been to Misty in like 3 weeks, so I'm kind of obligated.
No,
does it have to be Tuesday? Can it be Wednesday? Can it be Monday?
It has to be Tuesday.
Can't be Wednesday.
Why does it have to be Tuesday?
Well, Wednesday we're going to be at PEGS.
Thursday we're playing Lord of the Rings.
So, okay.
Misty
can handle it. Trust me.
What a quick callback to Johnny Depp. I remember a couple of years ago he was basically blasting the normal American public for being so horrible that he wanted to go and live in France. Do any of you guys remember this?
I remember that.
Okay. So I do remember seeing an article about...
I thought he lives in France.
Maybe.
I think he went through with it.
Yeah, he does live in France.
But I saw an article recently, within like the last couple of weeks ago, he was talking about how his favorite American television show is Honey Boo Boo.
Well,
sure.
Which is, you know...
By the way, I've never seen it because I'm not a fucking idiot.
I'm not going to see it, but I know.
I see the news, like, Honey Boo Boo did this. I'm like, what the fuck's a Honey Boo Boo? So eventually I figured out what
like
the fuck a Honey Boo Boo was.
Right?
I thought it was like a 30-year-old lady who was like a homeless person.
No.
I heard it was a little girl, and a fat little girl with a fat mom doing stupid stuff. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
It's awful.
A spin-off. Spin-off from a show that was already terrible.
Well, the thing is, Honey Boo Boo is actually almost entertaining in like the sideshow freak kind of way. Like, oh my God, what the heck? Like, these people, like, it's so bizarre. It's almost like... it's actually entertaining to watch because of the sideshow freak aspect of it. the thing spun off of Toddlers and Tiaras is horrific and monstrous and makes me want to commit suicide because it's disgusting to me.
It is pretty terrible.
It's bad enough. I actually am horrifically against even putting a bikini on like a sub 8-year-old girl.
Well, yeah.
Because bikinis...
Well, it's not your age group. No,
it isn't. Sub 8-year-old is totally not. But, like,
there's no grass on the field yet. Yeah.
Like, it's even just gross to me. Like, bikinis are designed as like they sexualize your body. And so when I see like 2-year-olds running around in a bikini, it's gross to me. And so like these... You put... Oh, just fucking toddler... Beauty
see,
pageants are disgusting.
See,
they're wearing makeup and like
the imprinting of this is what you're supposed to be is such a terrible thing.
I agree with you about the beauty pageants things, but seeing like a little toddler running around in like a two-piece is that's just like a cute little swimsuit.
No, a cute little swimsuit is a one-piece because two-pieces are specifically designed to sexualize.
I would say if they're 5 and under, if they're running around a little two-piece, then it's nothing. But if it's they're older than that, all the way up until they're like 16, 17, then
there's a danger zone where like they're pseudo sexual. Like, I can kind of see what you're saying, where they're too young for the concept of sexualization to even enter into it. It's kind of like putting high heels on like an 8-month-old; like it doesn't even mean anything. But to me, it's just skeevy. To me, like I understand when they're that young, it doesn't mean anything. But it's just until
at some point it does, and it's.
Until you actually have tits, don't wear a bikini. Like, it's
well, I would say even until you're, like, 15 or 16.
Right.
Then, now we're in the proper Nathan field anyway, so now it's allowed.
That's European.
Yes, exactly.
Do we have any,
We have, like, 2 Zappity Grumbles.
That's not enough. We'll do Katie's corner first.
We just did
Gen Con.
That was your corner?
That was my corner.
I thought that was announcements.
Well,
I was really happy about last week's podcast. I thought it went well. I thought it was a good balance of on-topic, off-topic. And this is insane. We're just rambling right now.
Well, how about some announcements?
How about this? I was thinking about the video podcast thing. Videocast. And I decided that I should have gone after... with Chromec transferred the damage.
People are going to watch the podcast and talk about it anymore?
It hasn't been posted yet.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't give away anything.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know, but don't worry. Yeah. Talking about. Anyway, announcements. Announcement number one. There's going to be an event in Madison, Wisconsin on August 3rd. 50-point steamroller event. We have people from Springfield, Illinois coming to the event. It is amazing.
Hey, Alex friended me on Facebook.
Nice.
And in September we're having a colossal event, or not colossal, a convergence
release event. We are going to have it the 21st of September at Pegasus September. Games. I haven't posted it yet.
Where's the August 3rd event?
August 3rd event is at Pegasus Games.
Also Pegasus.
Huh. Everything's at Pegasus lately.
Yes.
There's reasons for that. Also, If you watch Muse and Minis, you've seen four of our video podcasts, 4 up, 5 is coming. If you love video podcasts, don't worry. Soon, Muse on Minis will be posting their video podcast with commentary too.
Oh, really?
They had a really original idea. And they're going to be following through.
Copycats.
Wow. Hey, it's just a great idea. That's all right.
Are you kidding me?
Those guys have talked to me about doing that probably 6 months to a year ago. They just had really slow getting into it. So they actually, this is ideas we both came up with. We just worked on it first. They actually had this idea a long time ago. They actually have like a bunch of games recorded. They just haven't got to the commentary. They want 2 people to do their... They're actually having some of their games be in the commentary for people not even in the games. Like they're just going to critique their other players and call it why they're all failures. It's a bit more harsh.
It is interesting though, like sitting and watching, because I've sat in on a couple of them as the person who didn't play the game, and like the most recent one here with Katie and Circle Jeff, like watching, I'm like, hey, why don't you just do blank blank? And they're both like, yeah, that would have been a great idea at the time. Like, it's easy after the fact to see things.
I think our thing of 3 people, the 2 people in the game, and the 3rd person who's watching the game is a pretty good format.
Yeah.
Well, that's why Muse will probably copy that one.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. So we'll see what they end up with. I'm not sure what they're... But they have a bunch of games recorded. They're going to try to do... I mean, we're going to be close to 1 a week. They're going to be close to 1 a week once they start rolling.
Yeah.
So,
very cool.
Now that I have a better connection, it'll be a lot easier to upload.
It's a lot less depressing.
See? Yep.
Any other announcements? There's an event August 27th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
50-point steamroller event. A few of us will be there. I don't know who's actually all going.
There's an event next week.
That's August 27th in Milwaukee.
That would be July.
July
27th.
Wait, what?
You just said August. It's July right now.
July 27th.
But Nate Newby's birthday party is July 27th, too.
Yeah. I missed Jeff's party on Friday.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was sad.
Yeah. We're on our trip to go see Jack Antwoord.
Andy and I were going to drive to Milwaukee, and we got like 10 minutes out of Madison, and his brakes were like, I will kill you. And Andy's like, I don't want to die from my brakes. So we turned around and spent a good $2.50 at the cheap theater to see Hangover 3.
Yeah.
Cool trivia. Hangover 3 is fucking awful.
Yeah.
You overpaid for that movie by about $2.51.
It wasn't as bad as – it wasn't the worst movie I've seen at that cheap theater. That's still Dark Shadows. But
that's second worst.
Hangover 3 might not have been awful if I'd gone into it knowing that it wasn't funny ever in the slightest. Like, if it was actually like drama – like, a drama with a couple funny moments versus a comedy that's only funny a couple times. Like, it... because it seemed like thinking back, it seemed on purpose. Like, the director's like, well, first movie, they wake up and have a hangover because the movie's called The Hangover. And the second movie, they wake up and have a hangover because it's the fucking hangover. And so the third one, nobody gets drunk. There's no hangovers. Like, they're literally, that's not, it's just a heist film. It's got nothing to do with the concept of the other two. And I can get that they did that on purpose because otherwise they would be, oh, same old, same old. But you know what? Do the same old because that's the whole premise of the thing.
You can still make a funny movie that's a different premise. I mean, you can still put some effort and make what you're doing enjoyable.
I told this to Andy and he didn't know this anecdote, but Brian, given that you're a big horror movie fan, it's kind of like Halloween 3.
Yes.
Where you broke the premise and people weren't expecting the premise to be broken, so there's this horrible backlash. Anybody who doesn't know that, it's an interesting trivia about the Halloween movies.
We should probably tell Jeremy and Katie because they appear to be confused.
They were going to – it was going to be an anthology thing, and every year they were going to release a movie. It was going to be Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween 3, and they're going to be different every time. So first one had Michael Myers. Maybe the second one has demons. Maybe the third one has witches. Maybe the fourth one has whatever. So they did Michael Myers first. Huge hit. They're like, well, let's do Michael Myers again. So they did Michael Myers again. Well, now you've fucking made a premise. Like, now the Halloween movies are just the Michael Myers series. But they hadn't – the makers are like, no. The premise, which we haven't told anybody out there, is that it's going to be different every time. So the third year, they released a movie that had nothing to do with Michael Myers. It was evil Halloween masks possessing children.
And then bugs would crawl out of their hands. It was actually pretty disgusting.
It was a cool – it's actually a legit cool movie if it had been Halloween 2 and people had understood that there was not going to be Michael Myers every time. But the pattern had been made and people were expecting Michael Myers, so there's a huge backlash. So then they're like, okay, Michael Myers from now on.
I recently watched Halloween like a year ago again, and I was amazed how well the movie has held up as just creepy awesome.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow. I mean, because I watched it like obviously many times 15 years ago, 10 years ago, but I went at least 8 to 9 years without watching it. And like, you can't – Amityville Horror 1 does not hold up at all.
No.
Like, you go back to the movie, it's way too like 70s, early 80s. The people acting in the hair, everything's weird. But Halloween is just a true timeless – horrifying, amazing movie.
Halloween is one of the most legit scary slash ones. Yeah. I like the Friday the 13th series because they're just, you know, they're so unabashed. They're just tits and gore. They're not quality. They just are what they are.
I love them so much.
Halloween 1 is, though, legitimately a good film.
I even love 2. But yeah, Halloween 1 is by far, as far as the film goes, better.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's legit quality, not just dumb slasher flick fun for being a dumb slasher flick.
Are we going to go into recommendations?
Oh,
we didn't really get any Zapping Grumbles. I can ask the two Zapping Grumbles we got.
I think there's three now.
All right.
Yeah, there's
this is what's called planning ahead.
Yeah, well, we just forgot to ask. So
I was busy working on stuff today.
That's us. Yeah, I have two, not counting the one we already asked Katie about her friend. So, all right, so
Zappity.
Grumble.
Such a sad
grumbling. Top table vids. Good for the hobby or drama generators or both? We'll start with Brian because I never start with Brian.
I think they're very good for the business, very good for the world. Plus, people watching those games, it's so good for them, tabletop videos. And plus, if you like, actually, like, I love our format, but I think it's good.
It wasn't tabletop, it was top table. So specifically watching like the champ games.
Yeah, like the vids that like Matty K does, like at the very where you can see like the very
and a good example of the drama backlash would be like the one with our own Jordan and Will Pagani, where there's a lot of stuff about like the take back from the charge and things like that.
I think
like,
that shows what happens in the top tables. That you have to go in knowing that players are going to do things like that. You have to expect that because sometimes you play locally, everyone's happy and hugs. You have to realize when things get serious, people sometimes change their habits, and it's good to see that in a good table. And I think you see top level of play at those games.
I know there was a lot of drama last War Machine weekend as well with the game. You know, well, it was called and then it was uncalled and then it was called again.
Well, that's going to video. And that's
the going to video thing. I think is a different question. I would agree that that had some weird backlash effects.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, like, the thing with the... although I guess they would get out there anyway. Like, the video on the internet, everybody can see what happened and it spreads. But I guess if it weren't for that, it would just be the rumor mill.
Yeah, the rumor mill would still spread.
Keith lost that game, and then just because they like him, they called it back, and then blah, blah, blah.
It's
and then
funny.
Things
I've
explode.
I've seen videos of things, and it's kind of like a trial. It's like, in the video, this happens. People are like, well, why did that happen? Someone's like, well, actually, from my angle... it was different, and it's like it's a video.
Yeah,
there's one angle, but I was there live, and it was completely different. Completely different. Yeah, this is just I'm not about any particular game here, but I've seen people say that in a variety of games. Like, well, from my angle, that really wasn't the situation.
Yeah,
which always amuses me.
Katie.
Well, I mean, you do get a different feeling when you're there and you're experiencing it and you're seeing what's happened. Because, like, you know, looking back is 2020. You see things that you should have done and that people didn't think about in the moment. But it's probably better in general because you can see the mistakes that other people are making, even good players, and know to watch out for them.
Good players make mistakes, and some people think, oh, my God, I'm playing so-and-so. I'm never going to – you know, no, they make mistakes, and you can watch these videos. Everyone makes mistakes. Good players, bad players. I mean, people make mistakes, and these videos prove that mistakes happen in every game. Even good players, every game are going to make a mistake.
Well, you know, it's one of those – like, I don't think games are won by playing everything perfectly. I think they're won by taking advantage of your opponent's mistakes.
Exactly. That was a smart thing to say. Jeremy's never said anything nearly that smart.
He said, I do.
I did.
The smartest thing he's ever said.
I win.
Zip it!
Rumble!
Soda or pop, Nathan?
Soda. Are you shitting me?
Katie?
I said pop until I moved up to Wisconsin, and then everyone says soda. So it depends who I'm talking to.
I drink soda out of my bubblers.
Bubblers.
while using a time machine.
Yeah.
To get your money, though.
Yeah.
You use your time machine to get your money. Yes.
By the way, when I was in Arizona, I asked them where the time machine was, and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm like, I need money. Well, obviously a time machine will get you money. I'm like, no, I need the fucking money on my ATM. My debit card.
Yeah. It's a time machine.
That happened when I first moved here. I asked somebody if they had an ATM, and the woman said, well, there's a time machine, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, there's a fucking what?
Wisconsin, we are in the future.
Soda.
We're also
soda.
Happy.
I've always thought of it as soda pop because I grew up in California.
The worst is super down south where they call everything a Coke.
Yep.
And it's just like...
I used to live down there too.
Oh my God. Like, I'd like a Coke. Okay, what kind? A 7-Up.
Yeah.
No, not even Pepsi because that's the thing. It's like...
No, you could do that. You could literally say...
I understand. But the thing is, I could understand using Coke generically to refer to all colas because that's like referring to all facial tissues as Kleenex, okay? But this is like... calling all sodas Coke is like calling all dairy product cheddar. Like, even if it's just all cheeses, it's stupid, but at least you're in the realm. It's just like, oh, I want some cheddar. What kind? Vanilla ice cream. What? It doesn't make any fucking sense.
It makes sense. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Stupid Southern.
You guys call things bubblers.
Because they bubble and water comes out of them. Water fountains are what they have in front of the Bellagio.
Exactly.
That's a water fountain.
I'm with Katie on this one, too.
I've actually started calling them water fountains. I grew up in Milwaukee, so they were bubblers to me. But water fountain, that is a very...
very niche.
That's a very niche thing. Like, that's a goofy term that we use, and I understand it's not the norm. But soda is the correct term.
Soda pop. All the way. Soda pop. Soda pop.
My pop married my mom.
Those were our questions?
That was all we had because we forgot to ask. We asked late this week.
We're the worst.
Yep, we're fired.
Oh, man, we did something
unorganized. Travis, what's your question? Let's pause for a second, Travis. You have 5 seconds to ask a question.
All right, done.
Thank you.
That wasn't 5 seconds.
That wasn't 5 seconds.
Like 2 seconds.
Yeah, but it is Travis.
But Jeremy considers that 5 seconds so that when he lasts that long, he'd be like, I lasted 5 seconds, baby. He feels like a big man.
He's never reached that mark.
No.
Oh.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We do actually have a couple other.
Oh, yeah, on Facebook.
All right.
Yep. Favorite Michael Bay film. Go, Brian.
Oh, my God. I'd have to check IMDb to see if there's any
that
don't make me
know
vomit
if
with
I
rage.
Can say Armageddon, which isn't my favorite of his movies.
Is that Michael Bay?
Yep.
Oh, now there's more. Someone talking about Elf Dwarf.
I almost thought he did The Rock for some reason, but that's not Michael Bay. That's, what's his name? I almost confused. That's Brockheimer. I almost confused Brockheimer and Michael Bay. And I was gonna say Con Air, which is also Bruckheimer. For some reason, those two are suddenly the same people. You know, I don't know.
I know mine, and it's not one of his well-known ones. It's one that it was good enough that he used footage from it in a second movie, and that's The Island.
Yes, yeah, I was trying to think. I was my Bruckheimer. who did The Island? Was it Bruckheimer or Bay? I will agree.
The Rock is Michael Bay.
The problem
Really?
Really?
The Rock is Michael Bay.
It's right here in his IMDb. I checked it.
Here's the problem with The Island. The Island, to me, is a great movie that has Scarlett Johansson. Yep. And Nathan's going to agree with my point.
Yes.
Scarlett Johansson, and it has Ian McGregor.
Yep.
They have a sex scene. And in this sex scene, in the movie release, she keeps her clothes on. During the filming of that show, and this is my trivia, she was like, with the director, like, she had to wear this bra. She's like, you know what, Michael Bay, this bra kind of sucks. And she wasn't as famous then. You know, I'm fine going topless in this scene. He's like, no, I want you to wear that bra. He kept Scarlett Johansson's bra on in a film.
She begged him to let her show her breasts in that film, and Michael Bay said no. So, like, if you think I have too much rage for Michael Bay, just remind yourself of that. If it weren't for randomly leaked web pictures that she took of herself later on, we never would have seen her topless. And that's a travesty.
Travis. Luckily, it was corrected. Fate corrected it for us.
Could that be a new name for Travis in Milwaukee? Just call him Travesty?
If he did The Rock, if Michael Bay did direct The Rock, that's my favorite movie of his. I would say The Island is also very good.
I found my new favorite Michael Bay directed film. Carrie Kendall's September 1990 Playboy Centerfold video.
Ooh.
But I've not seen that, so I can't.
How many explosions are in that? How many explosions
big ones.
Do you not want to see in that movie?
I gotta go. Where's your back button?
It's that one. Yeah, I'm going with that, just by nature of.
He did a Meatloaf's Battle Hell 2 video, music video?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
That's like one of his first ones.
It's after the 1990 Playboy.
Oh, he must have worked with Brockheimer because he did back then. Brockheimer did Bad Boys too. I didn't realize that Bay did versus Bad Boys.
Yeah.
God, Pearl Harbor.
The best thing to come out of Pearl Harbor was that song in Team America.
Yeah.
All right.
I enjoyed the action sequences for Pearl Harbor. When Pearl Harbor actually gets bombed in that film, that is an amazing sequence of events.
Yes. Funny trivia, I've really never seen Pearl Harbor because I don't hate myself.
You should watch at least that sequence.
30 minutes of that movie is amazing.
Yes.
Oh my God, there's a whole bunch here now. Oh, there's like 8 questions here. So, let's move on. Zappity!
Crumble!
Favorite peanut butter and favorite jelly? Well, the peanut butter, I mean, they're, well, Smuckers. Creamy.
I like Jif.
Yeah, I mean,
creamy.
Peter Pan or generic. Those are my two.
I like Jif.
Peter Pan's nasty.
Yeah, I don't like Peter Pan peanut butter either.
I eat it out of, because it was what I ate as a kid.
That's what makes, I had Jiffy as a kid. I love Jiffy because it was what I had all the time.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, because peanut butter is peanut butter, so it's hard to convince myself to change. I'm sure there's better peanut butters, but...
No, I've tried many kinds. They're very different, but, you know, whatever.
As long as it's not chunky. I hate chunky.
No, chunky's nasty. I agree.
I like the Smucker's grape jam that is like the diabetic grape jam. They don't add any sugar to it.
It gives you diabetes. Yeah. This is so good, you will become a diabetic.
Don't add sugar.
Smucker's sugar-free stuff is actually really good.
Yeah. Smucker's natural peanut butter is amazing.
Smucker's raspberry is...
I don't like the raspberry. The seeds get in my teeth.
There's a brand that we have in the stores right here around in Madison because it's like that Wisconsin ones with like the Door County.
Wisconsin, like a Wisconsin.
Yeah, like the Door County ones. And those are amazing, but they're all local ones. But if you can get locally, like jellies are one of the things that are worth getting locally made, little independent ones, because they're usually really good.
That makes sense.
Zappity.
What else we got?
Is the old adage true? To be a man, you must have honor. Honor and a penis. Yes?
Yes.
Who asked that?
Actually, I'm progressive. You don't have to have a penis to be a man.
What
I'm okay
the,
with that.
The spider
any trans girls
throne.
Out there.
True.
Yeah, he doesn't have a penis.
He doesn't have a penis. He doesn't really have honor.
By the way,
he
does not have honor either. So yeah. Is he a man?
He fails by both. Yeah.
Has Travis posted anything?
Nope. No, we got a couple from Michael Stubbs.
We're still waiting.
Michael Stubbs wants to know if he made it in. Yes, you made it in because of your previous question, which we'll ask now after we say, Zappity! What, if any, are your quote-unquote irrational fears? If you had and then he has like more questions. Okay, so he has two here. What are your irrational fears?
Heights.
Spiders. That's not irrational, though.
No,
spiders are your ally. Spiders are our ally.
Ticks are nasty.
Fuck ticks. Well, that's why I like spiders, because they eat ticks and mosquitoes and
stuff. With more than 4 legs.
What about Father Lucant?
I don't know what that is.
That's the
new Convergence
Warcaster. It was a reference. I don't know. An irrational fear. Well, I don't like needles, but that's because I don't want them, you know, piercing my flesh and killing me.
I would agree with the needle thing too, but heights is still a bigger deal for me.
Like, I fucking hate needles. But if I told my anecdote on air about the flying drunkman, that's the most terrified I've ever been. Have I told this anecdote? You've never heard the flying drunkman? I'm going to tell this story. I love this story because we have time.
I feel like we're ruining the lightning round premise, but I'm going to allow it.
This story's worth it. So some buddies and I, when I was like 18, we took the Amtrak into Chicago to see Penn and Teller. And then we're coming back, and it's like 2 in the morning, and we're taking the Amtrak back. But we stop at Union Station to wait for the train, and we're in the bar because they let us into the bar. And there's a guy there who was blitzed, just absolutely destroyed. He's like, you know, I'm from the Railroad Commission. That's the line I remember he said. I don't know what that meant, but he acted like that was a big deal. So he got on the train with us, and me and one of my buddies are going to murder him because he has one of those stereotypical silver briefcases. Like, that thing's full of diamonds. I am sure to this day that that thing was filled with diamonds. But our other friend wouldn't let us kill him, so we didn't steal the diamonds.
Well, he wasn't homeless.
No. Right.
And so the conductor... And that briefcase could have contained some kind of contract for a wrestling.
It could have.
For
it could have
a rematch
had
or something for a title belt.
Marcellus Wallace's soul. Who knows? Yep. So the conductor wakes the guy up like every stop. He's like, is this your stop? And the guy's like, blah, 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 and goes back to sleep. So finally, it is his stop. So he stumbles off the train and he comes and he stops directly outside my window. And it's pitch black out there. All I can see is this guy. And he rotates, holds the briefcase above his head, makes eye contact with me, and levitates away. And I, for a split second, everything was real. Like, all bets were off. There was Bigfoot, there was Loch Ness Monster, there's fucking aliens, there's demons, there's vampires, there's werewolves. It's all true, because this guy is literally flying away while maintaining eye contact with me. And what it was that since it was so dark, I had no point of reference, and I hadn't felt that the train had started moving. So he was standing still, and we were moving, but since I didn't feel the train, he just, like, whoo! And he flew away, and I'm like, ah! So just raw terror because of the flying drunkman.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh. This day, like, Ian and Scott are like, we have never seen someone more terrified in our lives. And, like, we've been in car accidents. And so I'm like, no, that was the most terror ever.
Oh my god, that was great.
I have so many irrational fears and I can't think of one of them.
Ticks. You hate ticks.
No, I have some really weird irrational fears and, like, for some reason I've blocked them all out at the moment, which I'm gonna allow.
I'm pseudo chronophobic. Like, I'm scared of time. Just it's the inevitability of death. Like, I'll lay awake at night just and not sleep for a week at a time because I know that I'm gonna die.
I go through that, but that's not irrational. You are going to die.
I mean, that's the thing. It's not like, and when I explain to people, it's like if you had like the cinder block on your feet, like mob style, and they threw you over into the river, and you have, like, as long as you're holding your breath to live, you'd be fucking terrified for those 30 seconds. Fucking terrified. What makes the next 60 years different than those 30 seconds?
The actual pain of dying isn't on you. You don't feel like water taking
into
your lungs.
Then
then
they lock you in a safe and the air's gonna run out of it. Like, the point is, it's the inevitability, and when it's only 30 seconds, you're like, ah! But when it's 60 years... Well, yeah, to me, those next 60 years, I'm just going to have that terror.
Well, but you have so much to do with 60 years.
And it's so annoying. I'm like, God damn it, Brayden. Brayden's like, no, you're going to die, and then it's going to be gone forever, and everyone you ever know and love is going to die, and the universe is going to wink out, and it's all pointless. Fuck you. I'm like, I just wanted to sleep.
And you're like, time to masturbate.
Sometimes that helps.
I don't know that I've ever done that. That is
masturbate. She's just frozen.
You've
broken Katie.
Wide awake, scared of death. That's what I was referring to.
My spider fear is rational. I'm sometimes afraid of things in the dark. I've never been afraid of the dark.
Iowan children.
You know what I'm scared of? When we leave one of the basement lights on, because that's also the outlet to plug in the laptop that's down there, and it scares me that light's on all the time, because I think that... demons are going to come rushing up from the basement.
I think someday,
every time I pass it, every single morning, I make Jeremy turn off all the lights before
someday
I go to bed.
There's going to be someone in my closet.
Sure.
Is it going to be a monkey?
I don't know.
As a child, I remember specifically, we had a very creepy basement, and that was where we had the other TV, so I'd watch TV down in the basement all the time, and I remember all the time shutting off the light and then sprinting up the stairs.
We've all done that.
Every single time.
We've all been there.
Like, That's a good one.
And jump into bed, like, from the door. Like, yes. You can't get near the bed because the hands will come from underneath the bed and grab your ankle.
Dad told me when he told me, hey, if you let your arms hang over the bed, then they'll reach up and grab you and drag you under. So I can't
My mom loved terrifying us. Like, whenever I get started, like, she was watching the original Fly with, like, Vincent Price, and Adam was, like, 2 at the time, and he called the monster egg eyes because he had big eyes like an egg, and he covered his face and he's like, tell me when it's gone. And my mom waited like 10 seconds and she's like, it's gone, you can look now. And it totally wasn't gone. It was still there, but she thought it was funny. to terrify him.
I remember as a kid watching, this is going to sound really cheesy, watching Gremlins.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And
first Gremlins is scary.
And as a younger adult, I did not appreciate that film. So I slept with the lights on in my room for like 2 weeks.
Because
I would jump out of bed, too. Because I know if they could touch the light for a little bit, they weren't too bad. But yeah.
Yeah.
But if I got away,
it was weird. Like the last movie that like scared me, I was still older. It was like for some reason the Blair Witch Project. The last 5 seconds of that movie, like for a week, just was scarred in my brain. It ends with a guy staring in the corner, and I was like, "Oh my!" For whatever reason, that just triggered something in my brain. And for a week, I was afraid to do anything.
That Blair Witch wasn't scary at all when I watched it, and then I tried to go to sleep the next night.
It was a little bit of a bomb. I got a little wait a minute, and it just sat in my brain, and it was
kind of like Psycho,
like Psycho wasn't scary the first time I saw Psycho. Like I still, when I shower, when I'm actually shampooing, I do it as quickly as possible because while that lather's in my face, I am vulnerable to somebody coming in and stabbing me to death.
For the Blair Witch Project, when I fell asleep with the TV on one time and the movie came on while I was sleeping, it was very scary.
Nice.
I'm
not a very good storyteller.
I will say that movie does still freak the crap out of me. I don't want to go camping.
I watched a season episode of Psych last year. They were in the woods trying to hunt Bigfoot, and someone just kicked the map into the river. They made a Blair Witch kick the map
kicked
into the river.
Map into the river.
I just laughed so hard because that's such a
map is stupid.
Such a simple, it was a stupid map in the river. I was like, my God, that's such a subtle call out to the Blair Witch Project.
That map is fucking useless. I kicked that shit in the river.
That line we used
my
so
favorite.
Much.
That's my favorite line from the movie.
But yeah, that end scene, I don't know why, just... A week of night terrors.
Right.
I was like in my 20s when I saw that. Yeah. It still just fucked me up.
We're going to go see The Conjuring on Tuesday. I won't be able to have the lights off in the house for like 3 weeks.
I thought Paranormal Activity was pretty good as far as creep level, and I actually thought The Ring was pretty good in creep level. As far as like movies as adults, I mean, some of
The Orphanage freaked the heck out of me, but there's nothing. It was the opposite. It freaked me out while I was watching it, but after it's over, I'm like, oh, that was freaky. Like, I slept like a baby because there's no lasting terror, but during it was really...
The Ring was the opposite. Where it wasn't scary and I was watching it, but it's a little creepy to think about afterwards.
Yes, for some reason. And that's actually cool. Or a movie can like suddenly a few hours later, like, wait a minute, I'm afraid now. That's some good stuff. You close your eyes and go, oh, I can't get my eyes closed. You don't realize that you're about to sleep. Like, wait a minute, I'm actually terrified. It was just subtly waiting for me to think I was okay.
Well, we should wrap it up pretty quick here.
Recommendations.
All right, then one more from Stubbs also. Zabbity!
Grumble.
If you had a child and it had to be an IK race other than human, what would it be? Elf, dwarf, ogre, or scorn? Nathan and Andy can also choose Satyr because of the beards. Katie can choose Satixis or Tharn because she always looks great. Brian can also choose Lich for his mastery of the undead. And Ben Ghazi can also choose Bogren or Stitch Thrall. So Andy, you can be elf, dwarf, ogre, scorn, or Satyr for your kid.
I want Trollblood.
No,
because then he wouldn't be. You know, I wouldn't have to worry about him.
And then if you want more kids, you just cut off an arm.
Yeah, arm gets chopped off. You're like, oh well, it's going to grow into. Oh goddamn, another kid.
Yeah, but those ones are temporary.
Yeah, that's true. It's even better.
Imagine your friends last 3 months.
Temporary kids.
It's like you just can get rid
of
them.
It's like my new business idea: to rent a kitten, where like you have a kitten and they just give you a new kitten every 6 months.
Is it like?
And then take the old one and give it to like a cat lady.
And then Charlie, and then he can sell his kitten mittens.
Yeah, kitten mittens. So all right, Andy's cheating, choosing Trollblood.
Yeah, I was gonna say Drudge.
Drudge,
nice.
Keep in line.
You want your old mind slave?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Drudge.
Keep him in line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you? Oh man,
I don't want to lose as a child. That could cause some trouble.
Oh, I'll go. I'm going off board too, and I'm going with Gobber.
I thought Gobber was one of my choices.
No, you got Bogren or Stitch Thrall.
Oh, Bogren or Stitch Thrall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a Gobber just because they're cute.
Katie wants
to go with whatever Kaya is. She's an elf, right?
Human.
Kaya, I think, is human.
Oh, is she human?
Yeah.
Oh. I guess
but she's a sexy human.
She's a sexy human.
I'm going with Kaya.
All right.
You think Kaya is your kid?
That's terrifying. I'm going to go with an elf. I love the Iosans.
Ugh.
No. Yeah. No, you get a Stitch Thrall. Yeah. I declare it thus.
It was funny.
So that's that. Moving on.
Recommendations.
I recommend Orcs Must Die 2.
Too late. We already did that earlier.
No, that was we were talking about it. Now I recommended it.
Okay.
Whatever you tell yourself to make yourself feel better. I am going to recommend a board game that I just forgot the name of. I played it on Friday night. I posted it on Facebook. Someone tell me what I played.
Mystic something.
Terra Mystica. Yeah, that's supposed to be really good.
It's pretty sweet. It's a European style game where it's a victory point condition. There's like 8 races, or there's 10 races. It's like 5 car or 6 cars, but double sided. So it's like only 12. But you only play one or the other kind of a thing.
Sure.
Like Eclipse has double sided.
Yeah, yeah. So the 2 races on the opposite sides of that card can't both be in the same game.
Correct.
Right.
You're basically it's a map kind of game where you're basically trying to terramorph a map to be your type of terrain for your race, and you build on your terrain and build various types of buildings that evolve into other buildings, which evolve into other buildings, which give you can give you victory points based on what you have on the time. There's a lot of random elements, like each turn different things are worth victory points. It's kind of like a game where you can win, one person can get a bunch of points for having the biggest kind of kingdom, another person can get a bunch of points for earning all these various tracks of power, and it's a kind of a fun game. It's a game where the person that explains it to you has to explain like 100 rules, and you think, my god, this is gonna be the most complex game in the world. Then you play a turn and it's super fast. Because that's just my games where you think it sounds so atrociously horrible,
right?
Because you have to kind of take the bulk of that, or nothing makes sense. But then you play a turn, and a turn
all sinks in.
Yeah, and I'd say the game, if you had 5 players, the first time it'll take you 2.5 to 3 hours. But if everyone's played it once, I bet every game takes 2 hours or less.
Sure.
It's only a 6-turn game, which is kind of nice. Like most games, your first turn is kind of slow, but your last turn is a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where you're not waiting for someone. It's like, I take an action, Nathan takes an action, Kate takes an action. You're constantly going around the board, so you're never sitting around board for an hour. So it's pretty sweet. That's my recommendation.
I think I watched the end. I think it was that game. Are there witches in that? Is that one of the races?
One of the races, yeah.
Because I watched the second half of game of that, and apparently... Like, there's, like, each round, each turn, there can be, like, a different modifier, and one of the modifiers was, like, cities were worth more.
Yes.
And so that was the last round, and this guy literally was having cities worth, like, 25 points each, and he made, like, 6 of them, and that's apparently a thing.
That would be probably in pop. Well, maybe.
Maybe they're 20. Like, they're, like, 18 to 20 points. Like, they're horrifically big value.
Cities are normally 4 to 9 points.
Yeah, no, they were double digits. They were double digits because it was that multiplier, and then the witches also like witches are +5, and this thing was +5 or something.
There
so
is
he was like,
there is a +5 modifier.
Yeah, it was a +5 modifier, and witches their inherent thing was a bonus to cities. So like his last turn, cities were worth like 13 to 18 points, and it was like grotesque.
Which is pretty but I mean if you make
he was in last points by 100 points until the last round, and then just annihilated in one.
But
it was his strategy the whole time.
True. I just know how hard it is to make one city to make. I guess I mean if you plan it from the beginning.
Yeah,
he
planned from the beginning. He's on the last turn, I'm going to make 5 cities.
That still amazes me. Without going off, but to make more than 2 to make 2 cities a turn to me would be amazing. To make 3 would be astounding. To make 5 would be.
I don't know. It was probably 3 or 4. But I'm exaggerating slightly. But the point is, I saw part of that game and it did look interesting.
It's fun. It's a game that has multiple paths to victory. It doesn't take more than 2 hours to play if you know what you're doing. And you can have it. I don't know. It's just fun. Final result.
Those are all good things to board game.
I will also recommend a board game. It's a super old game, and then they re-released it, so it's also slightly less old, but even the re-release is a couple years old. But it's my favorite 2-player war game, and it can also play 4 players, but one of the teams is up to 3 people on a team. War of the Ring, Fortress America. Fortress America is an amazing military game. It's a lot of fun. Plus, you get to quote Red Dawn all game long because it's all about everybody invading America. It's asymmetrical. America starts out really shitty, and the invaders are much more powerful, so they're going to just crush in. But then America gets stronger as the game goes on, and the invaders literally run out of reinforcements, and America gets to push back. America has random reinforcements, so you never know where they're going to pop up, which is kind of interesting. And the coolest mechanic about it is... each territory is counter-limited. You can only have 5 things in a territory. But when you attack, you say, I'm attacking from territory A into territory B, and then it's going to be 5 and 5. But you can say, I'm going to attack from A, C, and D all into B, so then it's 15 on 5. So to get numerical advantage, you have to, attack from multiple spots, and the board is very, very, very well designed, where these spaces that allow you to do so are very hard to get, and they're worth fighting over. And so that's just, if you like 2-player war games, it was released in the 80s originally, and they re-released it, I think it was just last year. It's definitely worth picking up.
Fantasy Flight. The reprint has only like 2 minor adjustment rules, and then there's what Fantasy Flight does is they reprint a game like the original, extremely close to the original rules because people like the original rules. Maybe a minor tweak if there's some obvious problem.
Right.
And then the final page is like, oh, by the way, if you love the game and you've played it a lot, here is a page of alternate rules.
Right.
If you feel like trying this stuff out, here are some ideas, but we're not trying to
force it down your throat. They did it with Nexus Ops 2, and they're good with that.
Yeah. It is a fun game.
It was a fun game. The one time I played it, I got crazy, crazy crushed, but I think... I don't think I knew what I was doing, and I was playing as the U.S., and I think I threw away the game.
The U.S., if an experienced player is playing with new people, whoever has most experience should play as America.
Yeah, and that was
once everybody's all experienced, you can obviously fight over who wants to be America or whatever, but America's the hardest.
Yeah.
But hypothetically, they might also be the strongest.
Yeah, it was hard to tell because I didn't know what I was doing until it was too late for me to recover as America.
I volunteered Jeremy as America.
Yeah, Brian thought it would be funny.
Yeah, well, that's a disaster for poor Jeremy.
Yeah, I got crushed. I still, it was a good game. So. Yeah.
Well, I will literally, you can show up at my place at 2 a.m. and say, hey, I want to play Fortress America, and I will always say yes. Just like if 5 people show up at my house and say, hey, you want to play Dune, I will always say yes.
we didn't play War of the Ring the other day.
That we did not, because unfortunately there were 3 of us because I had a surprise extra person.
What time?
So I'm having a friend.
2 a.m. Whatever.
2 a.m.?
Seriously.
Challenge accepted.
So when you're challenge accepted. So
if you'll play Force of Air, I will do it, Dad. Call that bluff.
If you're about to text John Damaris at a crazy time in the morning and you're already up, might as well play some Fortress America.
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the games I will always play. I will always play Fortress America. I will always play Dune. I will always play, a few games. And, yeah. You should buy it.
Yeah, I mean, if 5 people say, let's play StarCraft, okay.
Yeah. No, that's an easy decision right there.
I want to recommend Blue. It's a Hulu original series. Don't laugh at me.
Hulu original?
Blue.
You'll buy
it. You'll like this.
I've only watched the first episode, but I really, really enjoyed it. It has Julia Stiles in it, and she is a secret prostitute.
Does she sneak up to people and go, I'm surprised! Everyone's like, surprise!
Sex. Some money.
No, she...
That's called rape and then mugging.
she has a normal daytime job and a kid that she's supporting, and so she has this alternate life where she does prostitution, and it's really...
Why can't I have
kids like that? Probably softcore porn.
There was another Netflix original escort. That started like last week or so called Orange is the New Black, and all I know about is that the first minute of it is a nude scene with Laura Prepon from That 70s Show. So I've seen a minute of that show, and I liked it.
She's naked. She's on some special.
It's a topless lesbian makeout scene with her and the main character. It's the first minute of the show. How to hook you.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But yeah, Andy's right. She's more of an escort than a prostitute, so you can take her out on dinners and stuff. I don't know. In the first episode, she just had sex. She didn't go out in public with these people, so I don't know yet.
So she doesn't really... Yeah, no, that's prostitute. Escort, you at least wine and dine out there. You pretend it's a date.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really enjoyed the first episode, and I hope the other episodes are equally as good. It's on Hulu.
You don't pay enough.
Yeah.
I know that she's $900. That was one of the tactics.
That's more of an escort.
Yeah, that's up there.
That's a high cost prostitute.
That
right
is.
There. Yeah.
I still recommend Orcs Must Die too.
Bastard.
I think that's really good.
I played with Brian. We played through the campaign most of the way, and I had the female character, and I named her Vinegar Tits. Just by the way.
Yeah, I haven't played the male character yet, but the female character.
I can't figure out
amazing.
How to change who my character is. Like, I log in, and I wanted to try playing as the guy, and I can't find a button.
There's a create new character thing, but it doesn't... There's a lifetime skill track, but it doesn't track, the achievements for... When I play with people again, I'm going to just go back to my main first character. I just don't want to do it, because I've unlocked all the traps.
Yeah.
So I want us to play at least for your first experience, not with me putting all these bizarre things on the thing. But I will for now on, now that people have got some experience. I mean, he's not better. He just had everything unlocked. I want to do
that. Well, that is better.
That is better.
Well, yeah, but
he isn't better than her. It's not like he has does more damage.
He doesn't have mind control, which is... We would have died a million times if he both couldn't have mind control.
I couldn't bring myself to use the charm. The rock one's so good, at least when you're playing one player. I just couldn't bring myself to use the charm.
I don't know. Charm's really handy. It's a get-out-of-jail-free car when there's a kobold trying to murder you.
Yeah.
Or a gnoll, whatever. The gnolls. The big scary...
Oh, the troll thing.
Well, no, not no, the troll there's thing. Gnolls. The really fast guys that poison you.
They howl and they charge you. And they kill you.
Those, and then I found out the mushrooms, they say that they're really, really good against the runners. So I experimented with it, and it turns out if they take over a runner, the thing grows troll size and goes ape shit and murders everybody. So that's my new ace in the hole, is let a runner past.
All right, then.
True story. Andy?
Nice. My recommendation... Which I was hoping wasn't going to get mentioned as we were talking about John Carpenter earlier in Halloween. So my recommendation is an early John Carpenter film from the 80s, Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, you're talking
That's
about
actually it. Pretty high in your creep level, too. That's a pretty well done...
It's for those who haven't seen it, it's the church has been holding the devil's soul, or basically the devil, for so long, and the general public has forgotten about it, and so they wanted the church wants to get a group of scientists to prove that the devil exists scientifically, and they bring in a bunch of scientists to do this, and it's wacky
hijinks ensue. Yes.
Yeah.
They succeed.
Yeah. It is actually...
Which, by the way, it's one of the things where you didn't think that plan all the way through. Yeah, right? Yeah.
It is a pretty decent movie. I mean, it's right after his glorious movie of Big Trouble in China.
Anything
glorious for different reasons.
Yes.
Any movie that has John Carpenter and Kurt Russell in it is also amazing. Yes. Like, they did a surprisingly large number of movies together.
Well, yeah.
But... Prince of Darkness. Prince of Darkness is an amazing movie.
Not the Prince of Tides. That's a different movie.
It has this creepy vibe, and it just gets really shenanigan-y fast.
It has about 70% of the cast from Big Trouble in Little China, though.
There are a few of them. It is pretty hilarious.
No Kurt Russell, but there is a guy in the film that looks like he should be played by Kurt Russell. So, but, you know, it's go rent it. I think it's on demand through Charter right now, but... Yeah, I think it's on Netflix as well.
Maybe.
But
just find it. It's somewhere.
Yeah. It's good.
It's like the other movies we mentioned earlier. Movies that have horror movies, they just have a scene that just creeps you out longer than it should after the movie's over, and sometimes you don't realize it until later on. It succeeds in those exact same areas.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Evil Dead came out on DVD for the new one, and that had two scenes in it where the entire audience obviously was trying to look away from the screen. Yeah.
But that's more for the sheer gore aspect versus the creepy. But it was still, that's still, I really like the remake. I mean, one of the lookaways, because I mean, there's lookaway because if it's scary, and lookaway because it's just pure gore. And that it was epically
little of both.
Orb, yeah.
Well, one of the two moments, there wasn't any gore. You just knew there was going to be.
Yeah.
And you're like, God damn it. Because, you know, the movie sets forward, it's like, hey, sometime soon somebody might saw their face off. Like, that's a thing that's going to come up soon, heads up. Because, like, everything this lady sees in a book happens, and she sees a picture of somebody sawing their face off. And then, like, a couple scenes later, this guy goes in the bathroom, and you can hear somebody in the shower, and he gets closer and closer to the shower, and you can hear the person, he gets closer and closer, and you're like, oh my God, please just, I don't want to see what's happening behind there. But please open the shower so that I can at least get it over with. Because the longer the scene goes, the more I'm envisioning what's going to happen when you finally open that shower door.
Katie's excited to see this movie.
Katie knows what I'm talking about.
I went and saw it with you guys.
Katie saw it.
Katie saw it.
Yeah. And it's like, because you know, you're so torn, you're like, I don't want you to open that shower, but I want this scene to be over.
Yeah, Katie didn't sleep for like a week.
Yeah, I knew she was looking away because I was also looking away. No one's looking forward.
Everyone was rotated and covering their eyes. That and some. Oh, and there's an electric knife and then someone licking something. Those were the three that really got the audience. True story.
Good movie.
It was a good movie.
I was impressed that they remade it that well.
Yeah, I don't like torture porn, you know, like Hostel and shit like that. I mean, those just, like, Saw. The Saw movies all suck. But that one was good. It was a good balance of gore and terror.
All right.
On that note.
That was our recommendation.
Gore and terror, just like our podcast.
Speaking of gore and terror, Alice Cooper is also in Prince of Darkness.
Yes, and he's fucking amazing.
Yep.